Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rota. Our guest today is Jean-Christian Jury, a vegan and raw food chef from Toulouse, France, and the author of Vegan, the Cookbook. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So this is such a hefty book. It's really the definitive cookbook of nearly 500 vegetable-forward recipes, which is kind of mind-blowing. That's a lot of content. How did you choose them, and what did you decide should definitely be included? What was that process like?
I actually traveled for almost 10 years around the planet, collecting a lot of recipes, of course, everywhere. Asia, Southeast Asia, India, South America, Latin America, been everywhere. And what I do is that I take classics and I just veganize them, you know, make them affordable for the vegan community. And I try always to remain quite conservative with the amount of ingredients I use and make sure that you can use them everywhere around the world. So that's my aim for the last, 10 years now.
And because the book draws on so many different cuisines from different countries that you've traveled to, what are some of the similarities and differences that you found between veganism in different places and kind of what the ingredients and flavor profiles are that are leaned on in different vegan cuisines?
Actually, what is fantastic is that with cooking is always related to history. And I have a chance to discover always something new. I just came back now from India, from a city called Muziris. And this city was for 3,500 years the capital of the spices around the world. So Romans, Phoenicians, Greeks, everybody was going there in 40 days, usually from North Africa by boat, collect the spices, come back. In the time of the Romans, when they were around the world, you know, as soldiers, they have an allotment every day of 140 grams of wheat. And they had also pepper, because pepper was part at 80% of the Roman recipes. So they needed to source that. And to source them, they were going to the city Muziris, that you can consider like a kind of hub for spices for the world. So everybody was going there, the Indonesians bringing cinnamon, cloves, Indian, of course, at turmeric, Vietnam, Indonesia also for the pepper, the green pepper, red pepper, etc. So imagine now, 1341, the city of Muziris disappeared overnight. Earthquake, floodings, tsunami, no more sources. From that point, they go to the Silk Road and try to resource. But the Silk Road disappeared 6 years later because of the dead Black Plague. 130 million people died on that period of time, so nobody was traveling anymore to China, Asia, India, because it was dangerous. So what I want to say is that every time something like that happened, it changed completely the course of cooking. You know, and you can go on like that for years, basically. Just go to Spain, 700, when the Moresque invaded Spain and Sicily. They brought with them so many spices, changing completely the kitchen and the cooking of the Spanish people, right? Then the Spanish go to South America, bringing new spices again and new ingredients. So chocolate arrived in France very late, you know, 1600s. So this is what I try to backtrack. I go back to the source of the recipes, and I veganize them and make sure they're very tasteful. So it's for me a challenge, but it's also for me a way to travel and backtrack history of food.
Well, it's fascinating, right? Because the history of food globally is really a history of places and of travel and trade routes and, in many cases, war, in many cases, colonization. It's a really complicated history. And I think the history of veganism in America is really interesting, too, because there's sort of this point at which vegetables become more expensive than meat. And now to be vegan is often, in many people's perception at least, buying produce is more expensive than buying meat. So how do you, you know, when you talk about accessibility and you talk about really making sure that the recipes contain only a certain number of ingredients, you know, it's possible to source them in a lot of different places. How do you think about that? And how do you think about making veganism more accessible to more people?
You have to start to think a bit in a different way about vegan food. Firstly, the most important is not to be vegan. The most important is to eat as fresh as possible. I talk about, for example, the farmer's market is a very good source. It doesn't make sense to buy something cheap, which is already 10 days old, on the shelf in a supermarket. All the properties and the quality are gone. So being vegan is not a religion. Being vegan is, for me, like a necessity for us in order to survive a bit longer on this planet. There is no other option for the future anyway. It doesn't make sense, if you think about, to grow food for the animals that we're going to eat. We can just make a shortcut on that one and eat directly, you know, the plants that we need. It doesn't make sense to use so much space for that and to pollute the planet as much as we do. But I'm not vegan because of the animal rights. I'm vegan because of a health reason, right? And that's the only way for us to source the energy we need every day is to eat the right things, right? I was talking before with somebody about aging, for example. If you eat the right plants during your life, when aging kick in, you have a chance of surviving, which is 30 to 40 years, compared to somebody having a weak body when aging kick in and they're gone in 5 years' time. It makes a huge difference if you think about. We were this morning at Fox studio, and I remember this say that I learned in China 2 weeks ago in Shanghai. A guy said to me, you know what, everybody has two lives. I said, what do you talk about, right? And he says, yes. The second life you think about as soon as you understand that you have only one. And that's right. You know, if you start to understand what you need to be fit, when you need to get energy for your everyday life, vegan is a very good solution. As fresh as possible, as raw as possible too. So I try just to make recipes, you know, to showcase that vegan food is affordable first. Secondly, I try to make it delicious so the kids like it also. I always remember my daughter is not 24, but when she was around 10 or 11, we were living in London. When I send her to the supermarket to source fruits or veggies, she sometimes came with empty hands because she didn't know what to buy. Not because the choice was not there, but because it was not tasty. What's the point with a banana who was 6 months on a boat from green to yellow? You know, same for the mangoes, the pineapple, whatever else. So I think that we have to make sure first that the products we source are regional. The taste is so important, right? The mistake we did is that we just source cheap stuff. And at the end, no nutrients inside, you know, too old, no taste. So we go away from that. We go to processed food where the taste is so concentrated because of the cooking that of course we like it, like everything which is strong flavor. But at the end, it's wrong because it is not what we need.
I think more and more, especially now, whether it's healthcare or the environment, people are realizing that we really need to take these things into our own hands, that regulatory bodies are not necessarily going to make the right decisions. And so people, I think, feel some of that personal responsibility to make those choices. But I think that when you're thinking about changing your diet and you're thinking about going vegan, the idea of sort of making this definitive decision, and I'm never going to eat meat again, I'm never going to eat dairy products again, can feel really overwhelming, which is why I've really liked seeing in the past years this idea of, well, what if we just, you know, ate vegan food 3 or 4 days a week? What if we just tried to work more vegetables in our diet? That sort of adaptability and flexibility. What advice do you give people who maybe aren't ready to make the full switch, but want to add more vegetables into their diet, want to cook more fresh food? What are some of the tips that you give them or places to start to make it easier?
Vegan is not a religion. So, and I like very much the fact that today we can sit at the same table with meat eaters or fish eaters, you know, nobody really minds. The most important is the healthy side and the healthy aspect of the food we indulge every day. So when you start with fresh vegan food, you can see by yourself what happened to your body. You can feel the energy. You know, 10 years ago, I could not read anything without glasses. Today, I don't wear glasses anymore. I can see the changes. And this comes only from the nutrient I take every day. Basically, to become vegan, it's not the most important. The most important is to understand what diet you're on. To become just vegan, to be vegan, it doesn't make sense on long term. You're going to get sick. You have to understand and study your diet. Everybody needs something a bit different. We're not come all from the same mold, right? So we need to understand who we are. We can backtrack that. Actually, you can do DNA tests today to see what your body really needs, what vitamins are missing, etc. So don't hesitate to do that, firstly. And then study. That's very important. There is no point to just eat anything vegan, like processed vegan food today that you can find also on shelves, which doesn't make sense. But again, the industry try to make money. So they start to make money with vegan food too. So be careful with that. For me, there's only one rule. Eat at least once a day something fresh. Because the body can eliminate any excess, but it cannot basically give you what's missing. That's your job to do it. So you wake up in the morning, make a fantastic fresh smoothie, and you're on for the whole day packed with energy. And the rest of the day, just eat whatever you like. If you slowly become vegan, great. If you don't, just make sure that you have the minimum every day.
Right. I like that, the idea of adding things in rather than eliminating things. And with 500 recipes, I mean, that's a lot of new ideas. That's, I think a lot of people think, well, if I'm vegan, I can't eat anything. And here are literally hundreds and hundreds of things that you can eat. So what are some of the things that you love to serve to please vegans and carnivores and omnivores alike? What are sort of some of the crowd pleasers, the recipes from the book that anyone can add to their diet no matter where they're starting from?
I love very much to work with different temperatures because a lot of ingredients are reacting on cold or hot, right? And you can play around that. For me, one of the best base, for example, to replace bacon is just coconut oil or coconut fat. Because when you refrigerate them, the texture becomes firm like a cheesecake. So you can add whatever fruit you like to it. You need around 30% of coconut fat or coconut oil. Then you add whatever you like, mangoes, passion fruit, pineapple, and you have a beautiful cheesecake, right? So this is something I like to cook, to surprise people. I love to work with algae. I love to work with vegan cheese. And to make a vegan cheese, it's so easy. You know, you just need fresh nuts, raw nuts, like pecan nuts, cashews. You soak them overnight, you know, just to make sure they're wet again. You resource the water in them. Then you blend, add the spices you like. Can be chive, garlic, pepper, and salt, or whatever. It's a bit of lime juice, for example. And you have a cheese. You know, there is no difference between a milk made with nuts and a raw milk coming from goats or cow. The fermentation process is the same. The bacteria gonna work exactly the same way. So I managed to age cheese. I make feta out of cashew cheese, for example. I can make camembert with nuts. So it's up to us. The limit is the imagination. There's nothing else. So what I like really to cook myself is raw food. I love it because it's colorful, it's very tasteful, and it's really fresh. And when you eat it, you really feel good, you know, at the moment you eat it. You don't have to wait. After a few minutes, the body recognizes the quality of the nutrient, and you really have an immediate effect on that.
What are some of the biggest misconceptions that you'd like to correct that people tend to have about vegan food?
I had yesterday a very interesting Q&A with a group of people in the library. And it's always the same question. There are so many misinformation in this world about vegan food. Basically, you don't need, if you eat the right vegan food, you don't need any supplement. Everybody talks about B12, omega-3, and so many different, you know, elements not sold in pharmacy that you don't really need. If you eat the right food, the food you're going to eat contain all of that. Lentils, beans, roots, fresh leaves, chlorophyll is there. It's so easy. You just have to source again the right food and make sure it's fresh. And you don't need anything else. That's the biggest misconception, I think, about vegan food today. You know, it's we've been vegan for so long as humans. We used to live in the forests, right, in the trees, because it was very dangerous to walk on the floor on that time. But we changed our diet just because we had a long ice age. But we never backtracked. We never came back to become vegan. Now, what's interesting is the relation between time and evolution. Our lifetime when we started to become human was between 25 and 35 years, which is a very short life, right? So imagine how many generations you have in 2 million years, right? But the body, to change any element, needs so long. We needed around 2 million years to lose two hands and gain 2 feet. Same time frame to get a bigger brain. And this we got it only when we started to walk, because by walking, you give more oxygen to the brain. This is the way the brain started to grow and give us a bit more ability to understand, create languages, and start to communicate. So now everything is history for us. But we did very bad in the last 80 years in terms of nutrition. Imagine everything we created around us in the last 80 years is fantastic. I mean, look, just communication-wise, what we have in hands today, what we do with our flats, the cars we have, I mean, everything has been brilliantly designed and developed. The only thing where we didn't really make progress is in food. It's all full what we did with food. Now, we cannot blame the industry for that, because the industry just starts to follow basically a lifestyle. They want us, we want to eat faster. They did it. We want to eat quick at home because we don't have time to cook anymore. So they did it for us, right? But we should just take more time, because it's the most important thing in our life, basically. You know, working, great, but I came back from 14 hours of work every day in my kitchen, and I said, come on, after two heart failures, I said, stop it, you know, just go back to something natural. And I started to eat vegan, and I feel so much better today. And I take more time for myself. And this is what everybody should do today. Have a vegan diet, healthy diet, and, you know, take care about yourself.
Thank you so much for coming to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Check out the book, Vegan the Cookbook. It's really big, really definitive, and has fantastic recipes. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks in the kitchens of the world's best cooks.